Thank you. John, good evening.
Sound good?
You sound a little low. It could be me. Let me look. Hang on.
I did crank it up for
just
you.
Just one second, though.
Leave it there and then add them bitches.
Nope, you got to bring it up a bit more.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Still a little, 13, little bit more.
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, this is definitely, a different rig than the old one, though.
It's still a Scarlett, but it's not the same model.
See, I think that the Scarlett volume needs to come up, but it's like the
test.
It's the input on the computer that needs to be down, or either one or the other.
I can't do that.
See, now you're over-modulating.
Aye, good.
So bring that down. I'll raise my...
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How's this? It's still turning red.
This is what you use with Adam, the same thing?
I use the same gear, but I don't have it jacked up. It seems to work exactly the same with him.
All right, let me. Now I'm going to move my volume up. Go ahead, talk.
Talk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I'll 11. That's good. I'll bring my volume up. It must have been something different with the volume. I have an input volume on the computer, and then I also have input volumes on the mixers. You follow what I'm saying?
So I know what you're saying. I don't have that.
Yeah, so I just brought that up for you. So now I got to look. But 88. You used to be at 60. So I just brought it up.
Okay.
So it sounds much better. Say a few things, please, and then we'll go.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yep. Much better.
11, okay. 12.
No, don't go to 11. Don't go to 11, for God, please. We did not do.
Minus 11.
All right, hang on. 88. I'm going to say, let me make my note for myself here, though.
What's the date?
85. New level's 85. 85. Okay. Let me just turn this off. And so we don't get interrupted here. Bluetooth, go. Connected, disconnect. Okay, excuse me. And then we'll open this up so we can see what's going on there. Okay, you ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 7th of April, 2026.
Yep, it's Tuesday. It's a Tuesday again, and John is with us, which is always a good Tuesday to have. And we have so much news to talk about because we had what we thought would happen, the 11th hour. It was more like the 10th hour, where all of a sudden the hell and damnation, all the craziness, well, that changed dramatically. And the markets are responding pretty, I would say dramatically, to this latest update, which we'll talk about. So we had a surprise payroll report last week. The fact, up until a little while ago, the quick war that was supposed to be over in a jiffy, not quite over yet. Food inflation is coming. I don't know if we may have touched on that last week a little bit. Economics, a bright spot in a surprising report last week. Space issues. Space, ew, sewage, space sewage.
Sewage in space.
Oh, so disgusting. And yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 1 hour before we're actually taping this, and this is live, obviously, on No Agenda Stream, there was going to be this crazy moment of, what would it be? It would be just...
Hell and damnation.
Yeah, it was the end of a civilization.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was the best one.
The end of a civilization, which I thought was really inappropriate to say.
Well, it was also melodramatic.
You think so? You think it was a little over the top and dramatic? Really? The problem with that is sometimes I think there are some people in our government that get overly zealous with their comments only to have to actually walk them back because after the fact they realize, like, you know, if you've ever been in a fight with Mimi, which I'm sure you haven't been, but if you ever were, have you ever been in a fight that you say something like, oh, God, I shouldn't have said that?
Yeah, that's always a thing that can happen to anybody.
Right? It's like, oh, and you can't take it back. And the other person's all pissed off. And now you're in a quandary. What do you do? But you realize that
flowers.
Was...
Flowers.
No, but you realize that you really went over the top here. And that's where we were with the end of a civilization. But, you know, certain people can apologize and certain people can't. Some people can take things back. Some people can't. And this is leading to now, you've probably seen it, the discussions of Article 25. Is it Article 25? Is that the right number?
Yeah.
That's
done. It's an amendment. So it's actually an article, you're right.
Article 25.
Yeah, so it's the way to get the president out of office if he goes nuts.
Or actually...
it has to be initiated by the vice president, mm-hmm. and it has to be agreed to by the cabinet.
Right.
And it's ludicrous to even discuss.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Unless there's a very excited vice president.
If a president has a stroke,
yes.
like Woodrow Wilson did, or is completely incapacitated, that's when it goes into play. Just because he says something stupid, and oh my God, Trump says something stupid or exaggerated or nuts. Nah, that's not good. It's not triggering anything except a bunch of complaining.
So I think we both agree. Well, I don't know if you agree. I thought that commentary was more than melodramatic. It was, I'm not talking about, forget Article 25. I'm not talking about that. That was just something that was brought up. But even Tucker Carlson was upset.
Yeah, but Tucker Carlson's against this whole thing.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
So he's making noise. The White House is like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. I haven't even read it. Who listened to Tucker Carlson anyway? That's the newest one.
He actually got some good interviews recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially with the demonologist. He brought in a Catholic exorcist who discussed this, which was fascinating, actually. You might actually enjoy it.
I would enjoy that. One of my first movies that I saw that scared the crap out of me. It was when I was very young.
Yeah.
We had a babysitter. Lori from next door was over. My sister Sharon and I were getting babysat and I was going to sleep. And in my bedroom, Lori was watching a movie and I was sleeping and I figured I'll get up and see what's going on. I walked into The Exorcist as her head was spinning around.
Oh my God.
It was horrifying. It was terrible. I was freaking out. I'm like, what is happening? And that, and when she was bouncing up and down on the bed, for years I had nightmares about that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Bad. Well, I have to admit something.
Yes?
Which I've never mentioned to anybody. No, I didn't think it's important. I have never seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen the clips from it. And I saw the clips, you know, in the spinning head, and the spit coming out, whatever. And I said, I'm not going to watch this movie. It's disgusting.
Yeah, you know, you have watching it today, I think we are much more immune to some of the things that we watch on television as opposed to back in the day when that was all new.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would have as much effect as today as it is back then. But markets, let's talk about that for a second. March sucked. That is the report for March. Thank you very much. First quarter results are in. We'll discuss that. Oil up WTI and Brent. Really interesting situation. Of course, it's only transitory, but really interesting situation that up until, forget about what just happened a minute ago. We'll talk about that. Brent crude usually is higher priced than WTI, West Texas.
Yeah, always.
Dude. Always. This is like, up until recently, if I was to say to you 4 years ago, John, what's more expensive, unleaded fuel or diesel? You would say?
Unleaded fuel.
Unleaded fuel is more expensive.
Yeah, diesel is always a cheap fuel. Diesel is always cheaper than regular.
Because it takes, it's a much more crude refinement process.
Right.
So that turned around, of course. We know that diesel is much
more. They changed the law. They made it so it has to be low sulfur.
Right. So that happened with diesel. And then what was more interesting recently was that Brent was lower cost than WTI. Today, Brent was like 109. WTI was 116 at one point. Why is that?
Well, yeah, I'd like to know.
Well, here's my theory on this. We've seen very different pricing on oil recently. So we've seen, for example, oil for immediate use, Brent for immediate use in Asia was trading at 140 a barrel. When in fact, on the futures market, the front contract was, let's say, 108, 107. Because the reality was, we're seeing backwardation in the market. Backwardation is when the contracts in the future, futures contracts in the future, are less than they are today. Whereas contango is the normal set of circumstances where people believe that over time, things get more expensive. Simple inflation, even a 2% range of inflation, contango is the standard way of future contracts operating, generally speaking. We have backwardation because front month delivery today is expected to be higher than delivery in 4 months from now. So we have this phenomenon going on. I think what's happening here is a very interesting twist on this, whereas the Brent for consumption today, for buy today, is 140 because you can get your hands on it. You can't get your hands on Brent in a month from now, the theory is, because the Sea of Hormuz, the Strait of Hormuz is closed.
Right.
But what can you get your hands on today? You can get your hands on plenty of WTI.
Yeah.
So you're bidding that up and you're saying, you know what, I'll take that. I don't want to pay the 140, the real price of today's fuel. I can't get my hands on the futures because they're probably not going to be here. I might as well get what I can, which is WTI, and they bid that up. It was 116 at one point today, as hell and damnation and the end of civilization and the threats of blowing up all of the bridges and the water desalinization plants and the energy plants, that was all happening today, all up. So that all ended, by the way. We'll break the news right now, where President Trump said, as at the request of Pakistani negotiators, said, you know, right at the end of the day, right? Towards the middle of the day, there was some hints, by the way. Hints like Trump said it was illegal if the Iranians were going to force or recommend or suggest that innocent civilians would become human shields in the power plants.
Yeah, he also said, he had an interesting one, because he talks all day. So I heard the one that was a hint for me was, he said, well, you know, we're going to blow the place to smithereens, but then we'll help rebuild it. And then he said, well, you know, the funny thing is the most costly thing to rebuild are power plants. So maybe we won't blow them up.
Right. So somewhere at the end of the day, there was this idea that a two-week pause that would be contingent on no further bombing, shellings, and all that from Israel or the U.S., and then a further contingent on the Straits of Hormuz being fully opened. And supposedly, there was commentary throughout the day that Iran had closed off communications, and it was open, it was closed, back and forth, back and forth. And then somewhere along the line, about, I don't know, 7 o'clock? But, oh, the biggest hint? The biggest clue that this was never going to happen was the 8 o'clock p.m. bombing time frame. First, anytime someone asked President Trump, when are you going to, I'm not going to tell, why would I tell you that? Who in the military would ever tell you when or where or what we're going to bomb? He says it all the time.
Yeah, he does, not you mention it. I didn't catch that one.
Now he's like, right. 8 p.m.
He never does that.
Set your clocks to 8. That's the first clue. The second clue, what else is 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock Eastern. 8 o'clock Eastern is the close of the aftermarket in the U.S. and the reopening of the futures markets around the world.
Hmm.
So you don't do anything. You get it right towards the edge where everybody's placing their bets on the short. Squeeze out those shorts as best as possible and then whack them. Everything turns around dramatically. And where are we right now with all this news? I shall tell you. I know you're asking. NASDAQ.
I'm asking.
The NASDAQ futures are up about 2.9%. The ES, the SPOOS, the S&P 500 futures up 2.2%. Oil down 12% at 96. It was as low as, let's see, it was as low as 92. Dropped from 116 to 92.
Yeah, look at the oil down 16.
That was 24 handles. This could be the biggest move ever. 24 handles. Do you realize how much money can be made on 24 handles in a matter of 2 hours?
Yeah.
Absurd amounts of money. So I came into this thinking, okay, well, probability is that we're going to see a little bit of move. And of course, Asian markets are all a flutter about this. Then the interesting thing about this is to show me that this is really one-sided is that, again, hints and clues. I always look for these. President Trump said we're going to start negotiating on Friday. First of all, what happened to Wednesday and Thursday? Second of all, I thought we were already negotiating. So why are we going to start initial negotiations Friday? So seems to me this was a great way out of one of those things that you said. This is basically the flowers. The flowers are the oops.
Right.
Open. I shouldn't have said that. I kept on saying it over and over and over. Now I realize how bad it was. I got to do something about it. And he was saved by the Pakistanis.
And I'm sure the Pakistanis did it at his request.
Exactly. So, good news. Markets are up. So, we're going to see a nice opening, unless something really weird happens. We'll see a nice opening. Oil will be down a bit. A little bit of settling. We've seen this before about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Almost the same exact move on futures. Same exact move on oil. Oil came down to 90 or 89 at that point. Still at about 95, 96 right now. So something to think about, we got that. In addition to this I thought was really funny when it came to oil. And again, understanding these markets and how they move, they're compared to the stock market. These futures markets are a little bit thinner, so they can really move fast, and they're based on a lot of leverage. So the multiplication factor of gains and losses is enormous, but. OPEC Plus earlier this week looked at what was going on with oil and agreed in principle theoretical framework. So you got two of my catchphrases there, principle, agreed in principle, and framework. But it, more importantly, you have the word theoretical in there to increase output. So I'll put that together. OPEC Plus agrees in principle theoretical agrees to a theoretical principle theoretical framework to increase output. Now, why is it principle theoretical? Because they can't do anything with the output. If the Strait of Hormuz is not open and you can't get any of this oil,
you can't get the oil out.
So they said, yeah, theoretically we agree to an output hike of 200,006 barrels per day. We're dreaming of an output hike. You know, hopefully that will help oil prices. So lots of crazy going on in this area. And again, we saw Iran hit some of their neighbors. Iran's going to really be, they're going to be more than ever ostracized from the whole area. It's like there's the Middle East, and then there's Iran now. I don't think there's a country they haven't pissed off.
Yeah, they've gotten mad. Yeah, every one of them.
And before, they had a lot in common. Now they're just really standing on their own. And a lot of this, by the way, is their doing. They didn't have to go and attack Kuwait or, I mean, one thing, closing down the Strait of Hormuz, embargoing basically what they did like in 73. Another thing entirely, going after the aluminum smelters or the natural gas in Kuwait, Dubai, and all these other countries, you know, and Bahrain and all that. Just really, it's like they went off their rocker. So hopefully some of this will die down. We have 2 more weeks now to sweat. And then what? We start getting the threats again? It's going to go on forever.
Another round of market action.
Yep. That maybe, you know, maybe you're onto something there.
Maybe that's what it's all about.
Do you think it is? That'd be
pump and dump.
Wow. That would be something.
At the highest level.
That would be.
You could probably get away with it 2 or 3 times. Is this number one or is this number two? I think this is maybe, you can maybe count this as the second time.
I would say this is number two.
Yeah.
For this particular issue. Tariffs.
If you can do two, you can do three.
You could do three. I think you do three. You could probably do five at this level because the stakes are much higher than other things. The stakes on the tariffs were much different. It was just money. This is lives. The civilization. The end of civilization.
Civilization.
End of civilization. Apple, you want to talk about that? They have a foldable flop. A foldable flop. Apple shares sunk about 2% after reports that the company's foldable iPhones may face delays. Yep. The Nikkei.
Well, okay, let me talk about foldables.
Yeah, go ahead.
JC has one.
He does.
He got the first of the Samsungs.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows other people that have them. And the thing is dynamite.
So it folds along the screen. Is that the trifold or the bifold?
No, it's a bifold. It turns into like a flip phone. So it folds from the top down.
Right.
And after about, I'm trying to put the date together, but I think 6 months, it starts to get, the fold somehow starts getting dirty. It's a gray line. It starts off as a gray line down where the fold is, and then the whole there's a section that's about, I would say, maybe a half inch top to bottom with the fold in the middle. It gets gray and dirty looking, and it accumulates dirt somehow. He doesn't know how that happens, but you're scraping on top of the thing constantly. It's not like that there's a lip or anything, but it starts to get dirty.
You're talking across the whole phone or just the edges?
It goes across horizontally.
Oh.
And so it becomes laughable when you look at the phone. It's like, what is this dirt in the middle of the phone here? It's across the middle. It's a real problem. And JC always tells other people to when they get a new one, he shows them his and says, this is going to happen to you. And it happens to all of them. So it's still flawed.
Is this like a bend mark, a permanent bend mark, or scratching?
There's a little bend mark, but it's minor.
Can you can't, you're telling me you can't like take a toothbrush and wash it off?
No, it's underneath the LED. It's inside.
Wow.
It's not on the top.
I guess to open up a store to do replacements would be the play.
Maybe. I don't know if you can even replace that screen.
You break it, I fix it? I wonder if they can fix that.
I haven't looked into the repair, but it's annoying.
Well, Nikkei Asia.
It's still a dynamite idea. Yeah, the phone works great, but this is a problem. I'm sure Apple has got, that's what Apple, this has to be what Apple's dealing with.
They're saying that, according to the Nikkei Asia report, they're saying that the company is facing engineering challenges in what would be the iPhone maker's first foldable device. Engineering problems.
That's it. I'm sure that's what it is. It's the dirt.
So somebody's going to come up with better glass, better foldable glass.
I don't know what, you know, maybe it's the, I have no idea. All I can tell you that's a problem with these phones, as cool as they are.
Did he get rid of his phone? Did he get rid of it?
No, he's still using it.
So it's very usable.
Yeah, it's very usable. It's just it's cosmetic.
Yeah.
It's purely cosmetic. Mm. The phone is totally functional. It's nothing is different except for this kind of dirt area.
Mm. All right, I'm bored with this discussion, but we're going to close it because I think we need to put a cap on this, a final just a final point on this and close the book for a minute, at least. This OpenAI announced it's closed. We kind of, I think we talked about this, touched upon this a couple of times, but the final round totaled $122 billion of committed capital, which was up from about $110 billion. So they said it extended participation to investors through bank channels for the first time and raised another $3 billion. They are getting money from wherever they can as fast as they can.
I would.
I mean, right. I saw a great interview last night, an old one, dating back with Sam Altman, where he was like in front of a congressional panel. And the guy says, you know, tell me something. You make a lot of money. Sam Altman says, you know, I do not have an equity interest in OpenAI, and I don't even make a salary. I just do it because I love it.
Mm.
That doesn't seem to be the case now, does it?
Doesn't look like it.
No. What kind of madman says that kind of thing in front of Congress anyway, whether it's true or not? And what kind of madman actually does that?
Yes, BS.
Yeah, he's a big BSer, he is. It's like a P.T. Barnum. So we're seeing that some IPOs are in the pipeline right now. We have the next one coming up, maybe as early as June or July. It's SpaceX. The estimated value
it's going to soak the market.
Soak up the market.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
$1.7 trillion of market cap is going to be the number that comes out. What's interesting about this is we have three coming up probably. You have SpaceX coming in June, somewhere in, I don't know, September-ish. Towards the end of the year, you have both OpenAI as well as Anthropic. Those are the ones that are coming. The interesting thing is that we're going to see what happens. The theory that we had last week of, is it possible? Did I talk to you about this? I don't know if I talked about this with Thomas Thornton from Hedge Fund Telemetry on the Disciplined Investor podcast this week. I posed the question to him, do you think it's possible that canceling the S, canceling production, slowing sales down for Tesla is part of a grand scheme by Elon Musk to drive the share price down so that he could buy it on the cheap and take it private?
Well, that's a unique idea.
If he knows that he's got this great company, why not just suffocate it for a little while and bring it back to life after the fact?
Yeah, it's kind of what Dell did.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't think Dell did it as a scheme, but he saw an opportunity and took advantage of it.
So SpaceX is going to be coming out. Huge market cap. They convinced the NASDAQ to allow them to change the rules, to allow for the company to become part of the NASDAQ 100 index within 5 days of the IPO. Usually there's a much greater waiting period. And as such, that's well before the lockup period ends for insiders to unload their shares. So essentially, you create a market that's going to it's going to be a mandatory buy-in for anybody that's an indexer. You index, you're going to buy the QQQs or the whatever other NASDAQ 100 or whatever NASDAQ tech or whatever particular NASDAQ thing that they're involved
tricky.
In. So now you're going to have to buy it, and it's going to prop up shares. Number of days later, 30 days later, whatever it is, you're going to have this lockup expiration point where insiders is going to get out very easily without it taking down shares because the float, while small, there's a massive amount of backup for pension funds, for indexers, for asset allocators, for just to keep on buying the damn thing, because it's going to be a big piece, maybe one of the biggest top five of the NASDAQ.
It's like a forced buying.
Yeah.
Which was to cover the guys bailing out.
Right. So what it does is it covers up a rug pull.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, congratulations. Good job, boys. Good job. You got to leave it to Elon Musk and his gang to come up with this kind of crap.
Yeah, that guy's unbelievable.
What's funny about it is this is probably something that could have been done, but other people are like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's just not really right, you know. He's like, I don't care. Let's just do it. You want SpaceX to be listed on the NASDAQ? You change the rules so that we can do this inclusion. I mean, just unbelievable. Not to mention that it's already at a $1.7 trillion valuation, which is wholly above where it should be trading.
I would think.
By a long shot. All right, let's talk about
a rocket company that relies on government handouts.
Yeah. But it's more than that. You know, it's Twitter, which was part of that as well.
Oh yeah, so they folded that in.
They folded that in. You know, who knows how that's doing? Twitter, I don't know. Twitter.
Yeah, I know you bitch about Twitter all the time. I like Twitter.
I know. But what else do you use?
I look at Twitter and TikTok and the Instagram stuff. You know, I check all that stuff. I don't post on anything but Twitter.
Mm-hmm. That's the real Dvorak, by the way.
Yeah, the real Dvorak on Twitter. People should. I repost a lot of cool stuff. People should subscribe to my feed,
especially if you like cats. What's with you with cats?
Cats?
You like cats?
I didn't post anything about cats.
You have in the past.
Well, yeah, when I wrote my toxoplasmosis column.
Hey, on the No Agenda newsletter, there's always, not always, a lot of times cats.
No.
I think I've seen cats there many times.
You got me mixed up with somebody else.
This John C. Dvorak or John Esther?
One of your liberal friends.
One of my liberal friends. Oh, yeah. Me, Horowitz, Mr. Liberal. That's me. Got the wrong guy there, too. We don't know each other, it seems. Nonetheless, you can listen to John C. Dvorak on the No Agenda show, which airs live. You can listen to it, of course, on Amazon or Spotify, wherever it is. But it airs
not
live.
Spotify.
You're not on Spotify?
No.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Not on Spotify.
Beef with them.
Yes. But you can listen to he and hims, which is Adam Curry, the No Agenda show. You can listen on Thursdays and Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Eastern. And that's, by the way, doesn't stop for holidays. Easter, they're on. They're not messing around.
We work the holidays.
They're not messing around. If Thursday was some kind of national holiday that is declared that the world will not work that day, you know what? They're on.
Yep, we'll be there.
They're going to be there. So go and check that out. Let's see. First quarter. Let's talk about the first quarter misery. Microsoft lost almost a quarter of its value in the first 3 months of the year. Steepest quarterly drop since the 2008 financial crisis. One of the things that all the pundits like to talk about right now is ExxonMobil has a higher PE multiple than Microsoft.
Wow. That's weird.
Yep. Energy all of a sudden is a lot hotter this quarter than tech. This is the playbook from 2022, by the way. We saw the similar thing that most of the market...
What happens next?
Well, there was a lot of inflation and just everything got squashed. But we'll see. Let's not forget, even $96 oil or $98 oil or $97 oil or $92 oil is still high oil. Oil today was up at one point 100% for 2026.
Mm.
That can't be good. You're paying an extra. I had somebody that came to me and said, you know, this is the first time.
It makes everything more expensive. People don't realize that everything from paint, fertilizer, I mean, all this stuff.
Plastics.
Derives from oil.
Lots of stuff. Thank God for the dinosaurs. But I had a friend today that said to me, he said, you know, this is the first time I can remember in a very long time that I didn't fill up my car totally. I said, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
He said, you know what? I saw it going. It was like $65 and I was only halfway full. And I said, screw this. I'm not doing it. I'll wait it out.
Oh, I want to get a big giant receipt. So my daughter and her husband, they have a town and country that uses E85.
Oh.
So with all these prices in like California right now, the gas price is typically $6.50 to
Ugh.
$7.
Hey.
The E85 is three.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I was thinking about selling some. I have old fuel pre-price increase in my boat. I carry 400 gallons in my boat. I'm thinking, get a little siphon, fill up
Yeah,
some.
you could do
I
that.
could have a little gas station outside my house. Bring your empty 2 liter Coke bottles like they do in Asia. That's what they do in Asia. I've been in places like Myanmar where you go down the road and the gas stations are literally 2 liter soda bottles filled and stacked up and you grab them.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's a sight.
Yeah. It really is. And it looks the whole time you're thinking, oh my God, these can blow.
Yeah,
They're sitting
well,
in the
most
hot sun the
people
whole time.
in part of those in most of those countries are driving around scooters,
Yep.
so it's kind of practical.
Yep. So Microsoft plunged about 23% in the first quarter, steeper drop than any of its peers on the NASDAQ. Concerns about the company, including return on investment from AI buildouts and the adoption of Copilot, is not really going as well. Copilot is it's
Some
kind
people like it. I find it annoying.
I like it for quick and down and dirty searches and things internally and some rewrites, like grammatical rewrites. But for anything more than that, it's like, not so good. Not so good. We saw also this software as a service or the SaaS companies get crushed. Adobe, as you know that because you have it on the game, Atlassian.
Adobe's been riding too high recently, anyway.
ServiceNow, all of them fell down about 30% for year to date. Financials, discretionary, and home builders also had a tough quarter. Now, what was good? What was good?
Yeah.
Energy sector up 30%, materials up 10%, utilities up 10%, oil up almost 100%. EM positive for 2026. So that's all the ones that happened. So in the economic front, things are still looking pretty good in the United States, generally speaking. Non-farm payrolls on Friday surprised everybody. I mean, like really surprised everybody. Seasonally adjusted move. That's the important thing, seasonally adjusted. It's not just a raw number. It's some kind of calculation with the statistics. It's not just a raw count. It's been adjusted. So that's where you get some of these, differentials. Why sometime in the future they'll adjust it again and they'll do a revision. But we came out with 170,000 additions in March. 178,000. That was a reversal from 133,000 decline in February and better than the Dow Jones consensus estimate for 59. I think part of this was that February maybe wasn't as bad as it was. What do you think?
That's they could, yeah, that is possible.
They screwed up the count, something with a government shutdown or some little crapola, something. So wages rose less than expected, with the average hourly earnings up just 0.2% for the month and 3.5% from a year ago. The annual increase was the lowest since May 2021. So that goes into the commentary that it's good, but there still is not a demand that workers don't have the edge like they did. Healthcare was responsible for much of the growth of the non-farm payrolls, up 76,000 in healthcare. ISM manufacturing index 54 versus 54.9, still going down. That's the services index, but not terrible. That's not terrible. I mean, the prior was 56, but 54 is still good. It's still an expansion. You have to understand that. That yes, a 60 is a greater expansion than a 50, But really, that demarcation line is the important thing. It's a relative number of whether or not we have expansion or contraction. That's really the issue.
I'm surprised you don't have a chart in today's show.
I don't. Visualize it in your head.
You got it.
So overall, here's the deal. I don't think there's a lot of really... There's not a lot of bad, not a lot of good. It's kind of right in the middle. Goldilocks to a degree. It doesn't... I don't think this is a signal for the Fed to be like, oh, we got to do something. And it's not a signal for the Fed not to do something.
So, well, they're going to put that... Where's that new guy going in?
Well, he's held up for a little while because Warsh... the problem is that there's a lot of blocking going on. If the lawsuit against Powell is not dropped, a few people are going to block the appointment or delay it. Everybody wants everything cleaned up and done off the books and bring in somebody new. So it's supposed to be in there April, May, but this may go to June or July.
Okay.
So many things can be fighting at once. So many fronts. Inflation, tomatoes. I don't
know how Trump can even do the job.
He'll do it. You're right. Maybe he'll just step in.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, just like there's so many balls in the air. Jeez.
A lot of balls. A lot of plate spinning, as they say. What about those plate spinners? What do you think about them?
I haven't seen one for years.
But you've seen them.
I haven't seen one for years.
I know, but you have seen them in the past.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there's a million plates. It's
unbelievable.
It's running back and forth, you know, keeping the plates going.
They're spinning it. They got it on there. They got one on the chin, on the big pole.
You got one on their finger.
Again, when did that person
decide? That was entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. When did that person? There's so many little things like, when did that person decide, I am going to be a plate spinner? It's the same
character. His dad taught him. Who knows?
It's the same characteristic to the guy who says, you know what? I'm the bow tie guy.
Well, what about the juggler?
Yeah, the juggler too. The juggler too.
You have to make a decision, especially when you get really good.
And then I'm gonna juggle fire. Or the guy that can put, you know, all this stuff in his mouth. How about the sword swallower? You know, it's like, you know, I think that looks interesting. I think that looks like something fun. I'll try it. What is that? You know? I don't understand.
I first saw a sword swallower in Riverview Park, or Riverside Riverview, I think, in Chicago when I was a kid at the, it was an amusement park, and they had, you know, the freak show. And so, you know, you pay a nickel or whatever it was to get in, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So they had a sword swallower and a bearded lady.
Right.
Yeah, you don't even have to
Snake
get
Man.
Pay for that anymore. You get it in Berkeley free.
That's true. Yeah, and you can't have those anymore. The sideshows, you can't have the sideshows anymore. No.
They were called freak shows.
Yeah, freak shows. And then I think they progressed to the sideshow. And then, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, find out the snake woman, the bearded lady, the two-headed man, the Siamese, the smallest person in the world, the biggest person in the world, the fattest person in the world. Yep, not anymore.
No,
this was a good thing for them.
That's money.
Yep. Inflation, we got foodflation, tomatoes, strawberries, asparagus, veggies on the move higher. Tomatoes up 17 to 21% tariffs. There was a video I saw the other day. A case of tomatoes went from $19 to $75.
Wow. And off-season tomatoes, yum.
Yep, exactly. Experts warn that the factors that are in place right now could increase prices more than 50% for consumers, especially during the next winter months. And recent reports indicate continued shortages and high costs through the end of through the end of April. That was the whole Florida frost and now the urea shortages that are having a problem there. Satellites, no view from Planet Labs. Planet Labs this weekend said it will indefinitely withhold visuals of Iran and the region of conflict in the Middle East to comply with a request from the U.S. government. This company is called Planet Labs. They're publicly traded. They will release images only on a case-by-case basis for urgent or public interest needs. This whole satellite thing, although we see the Strait Hormuz, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you know that those maps with the Strait of Hormuz that show the little triangles of the ships?
Yeah.
That's called AIS.
Okay.
AIS is a requirement for ships to have where other ships can, well, not only other ships, but other people, you can identify what ship that is. You have
like beacons.
Yeah, you have it built into your ship. So, for example, my boat, I have Garmin. We have AIS. We could see AIS. We could see the other boats in the vicinity on the map. We don't signal out because I don't have an AIS transponder. Not necessary for my size boat. So these big boats, though, you know, you have these. And that's what you're seeing. Anyway, point is, that combined with the satellite imagery of hard-to-reach areas was very useful for the government and media, and media was kind of releasing some of this, and they put the kibosh on it.
Well, there's been a bunch of these guys. There's a couple of websites. This one guy tracks all the boats, and, you know, he called out Trump for the 8 boats that they let through, and he says there's never been any evidence that these 8 boats ever went through ever.
You mean the gift? The gift they gave him? He said that was a gift, a present.
Yeah, the gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a website that tracks all the shipping that goes through the straits. He calls every now here a Portuguese boat went through it, you know, 0-100 hours, and a French boat went through, and they have them all tracked. It's amazing.
You remember what happened 2 weeks ago on a Monday, where 6:50, the 6:50 a.m., 7:07:05 a.m. differential, where $1.5 billion worth of future purchases and shorting oil and longing index futures went on. Remember that whole thing?
Yep.
Two Democrat U.S. senators are calling for Wall Street's top regulators and a Defense Department watchdog to prevent and investigate possible insider trading by government officials following a spate of market activity seemingly tied to the timing of President Trump's announcements. Reuters and others have reported that major moves of the last year in equity, commodities, and prediction markets are consistent with the possibility that traders have possibility that traders had advanced knowledge of Trump's announcements concerning the war with Iran, tariffs, and the capture of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro, among other examples. Republicans are not getting involved in this. They only care if Pelosi does trades.
Yeah. Obviously, somebody's doing some insider trading.
It's no worse than, or it's more, I think it's more blatant because the announcements are that much more market moving. That's why. The other stuff was like hidden because it was government contracts being afforded.
Oh, yeah. No, the Pelosi stuff was slick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would do it like...
You had to do some extrapolation. You had to think you had to think a little bit about it and then give it to the husband, have him do the investment. Right. And, you know, the hundreds of millions.
Not only did Pelosi...
But that's different than we're going to make an announcement at 2 p.m. and you go to one of those markets, what are they called, where you trade...
it could be futures. It was futures. It could be options. All those things. Everything.
Yeah.
So, pretty fascinating. But I think that all of this is. I don't see any differences with any of this. You know, whether it's Pelosi, whether it's the futures, it's just the blatant nature of it. Pelosi did it like, and the Congress did it for years. Under the guise of understanding who is going to win contracts, is Leidos, is Dell, is who are we going to do a whole new, are we going to bring up a whole new cyber security act? So let's buy the cybersecurity firms.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of subtle. It was investments. It was definitely tip off, much different than a market moving, you know, situation like we see now. I think that's a difference, but let's talk about toilets, shall we?
Okay.
The final frontier, the universal waste management system toilet on the Orion crew capsule has been giving the Artemis II crew some issues.
Yeah, twice at least.
So the toilet's problems included a pump that needed extra water to work and a potential buildup of ice blocking the vent nozzle that allows wastewater to drain out into space.
Yeah, that second thing there, which they discussed recently, kind of, it's like, how did you not know that was going to not happen? What kind of engineering is this?
It's cold up there. It's going to freeze. I thought the interesting thing is, so what happened was, for a while, there was no urination allowed. Only space pooping. Since they were on different systems.
Yeah, they were going into a bottle or something.
Yeah, so NASA was able to fix the issue by the one thing about this freezing up valve, by positioning the Orion so the toilet vent would bake in the sun and melt the ice.
Yeah.
So they turned the capsule to face the sun. So the problem is that, you know, you think about this, you go to the bathroom, there's no gravity and stuff is just